I know that I have sinned. I'll recognize that Christ died on the cross and paid for my sins. I believe that he was placed in the grave 3 days, 3 nights. And he had a glorious resurrection. 40 days of earthly ministry. He was caught up to be with the Father. And he ever liveth and maketh intercession for us on the right hand of God the Father. Take your Bibles and go with me to Psalms 95. In 95, down in verse 6. The Bible says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." I'll tell you a little secret. When I first paid close attention to this verse, it was because it was my daughter Abby's memory verse for Sunday school. And she learned to say it, and I heard it a lot of times when she was learning to say it. And the more that I heard it, the more that I liked it. Let me read just 1 through 6 here in Psalms 95, and then let's put it together for a moment. It says in 1, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." And notice there's encouragement to sing, to come with thanksgiving, to make joyful noise. Because he's a great God, because of creation, because of the work of his hands. And it is our privilege and our opportunity to worship God. Now, we come into the church and have different things that we do. And really, in a service, each thing is to bring glory to God. Well, it's the singing, it's the special music. It's the time that we spend together in hymns. Every part of the service is to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all know that it is fitting and proper that we give praise and glory to God. Worship. Has a lot of different postures to it and aspects. But we adore him. We worship him. We love him. We praise him. We magnify him. We glorify his name. And some of those things are done in a small, still voice, and some of those things are done with gusto and energy. I think there is a place for each of those in a Christian's life. There's times to just be still and know that I'm God. And there's times to just cry out, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee." I encourage you to worship God alone. I encourage you to worship God with your family. one generation telling his works and his goodness and his mighty acts to another. I encourage you to worship God with the assembly of God's people on Sunday. I encourage you to get Sunday over into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. If you'll understand that it becomes not just an activity, but it becomes part of your person and character, that you will worship and praise God. I went to Mr. Cody's music school and I did not get an A. He made that very clear, but I didn't get an F either. And I purposed in my heart and mind that because I was there, I was going to give all my ability. And I realized that there was way more special and talented people there than myself. But the idea that he was trying to get across to churches was bringing your best to the Lord. The very best that you can. And not having a sloppy attitude about our presentation. Now, back during the sacrifices in the altar, they could not bring a blind or a lame or a halt or a crippled up animal and say, well, this is a call. We're going to get rid of it anyways. Let's go ahead and use it for sacrifice. No, that was unacceptable because it did not present the picture of Jesus Christ. It had to be without spot or blemish or any such thing. I mean, the best. And it was checked over by the priest for flaws. And sometimes rejected. And there's our Savior, the Lamb of God. Without sin, without blemish, without anything. If you're going to spend this time, you might as well be here. I say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, you can be 1,000 miles away in your mind. Might as well be here, right, Zane? I told somebody in the back, Zane's drinking a cup of coffee so he can stay awake during church. And I wish he could just stay awake because he's so fascinated and interesting, but we don't have anybody shielding anybody's body from the sun over here, so. I like the story, Zane. I liked it. For this bit of time, push out all of the distractions of life, all of the problems, all the discouragements, all the troubles. Push them all over to the door like all the shoes. And come in and rest in the peace of God, in the comfort of a Savior. And focus on Him and worship Him. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. Don't allow the devil to have a victory that he would like to have in your life to pull you away. Here is one thing the devil hates. He hates hearing God's people give worship and praise to God. He hates worship. He hates when we will stop and we'll say, Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is above every principality, above every power. He is the master. He has complete authority. They know it, but they hate it. We'll look yesterday or last Sunday at these several things, O come, and it's being humble by knowing who God is. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Come, let us return unto God and unto the Lord in Isaiah or Hosea. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will let him come and take of the water of life freely. And in Genesis 7:1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come in all thy house into the ark. These different invitations from God. We're looking, say, in 91:1, oh come, let us sing. And we come and we sing and we worship and we praise God, and we end up getting invitation to come for other things. In Psalms 34:6, says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In Psalms 107:13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. We have a God who cares about you as an individual person. We have a God that you can bring your worship to, but you can also bring your trouble to. We have a God who collects every tear in a vial. We have a God who is troubled and understands the feelings of your infirmities, who wants to rush to be at your aid. He wants to help you. Now, he's not a genie. He's not at our beck and call. It's supported by a relationship. Here in salvation, we're adopted into God's family. We become his child. And he wants to see us grow. He wants to see us fellowship back and forth with him. If you, in your life, only seek God when you are underwater, guess where you're going to be a whole lot of the time? God's going to put you underwater so that you can seek him. And say, God, why am I always underwater? Because you can't praise me, you can't seek me, you can't fellowship with me when things are going well. Where would I go but to the Lord? I look and say, you know, we look to the hills, the dry ground, and the strength of the hills is his. The psalmist said, look unto the hills from whence cometh my strength. My strength cometh from the Lord. He is a God who is in tune with everything. When we stop and we just see a massive amount of people and we recognize how large the world is. I don't know, we're always emphasizing how small it is, but how many folks there are. And how many messages and prayers and how many troubles. And God has the ability and the interest that he's focused on every single one. He looks at an adult and he sees their adult problems and he cares for them as a loving heavenly father. He looks at a teenager and he sees their teenage problems, and the adults go, oh, you teenagers, why don't you just grow up? God is touched with the feelings of their infirmities also. He looks at the little child. See, the adult's got the transmission going on the car. The teenager, two kids said they didn't really like them so much today, and the little child, his blocks fell over. And we graduate these and say, yeah, this is not a big deal. This is not a big deal. Now the car, that's really hurt. God looks at all our problems and recognizes that they're important and that they are a difficulty and a burden to each life. He cares for us right where we're at. This poor man cries and the Lord hears him and delivers him out of all of his trouble. You know how God delivers a poor man out of all of his trouble? He picks him up out of the miry clay. He puts his foot on a rock. He establishes going and he puts a song in his heart. And this man ends up singing this song, and this song is a song of praise and worship to God. It's a song of joy and happiness. It's a song of peace and hope. It's a song of eternity forward. It's a song that doesn't look back, it looks forward. And it looks forward past the grave, it looks past the River Jordan, it looks on to heaven. It's a good song. 2 Samuel 22:4, it says, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. In Acts 2:21, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Psalm 18, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be saved. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, they echo and almost exactly repeat each other. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. I'll call upon the Lord who is effective and strong and attentive and sufficient to every situation. I like how many times that God made a plan. He gave it to man, and there was no plan B. No plan B needed. I have watched folks that were sophisticated, and they would say, well, we can pray, and then we got to figure out what we're going to do. I watched folks who were simple say, we're going to pray, and then we're just going to wait on the Lord. And the people that were sophisticated and planning thought they were so much more superior to those simple folks who just trusted God. And I watched God give the victory to the simple folks who just called upon the Lord. He's worthy to be saved. We call out to God and have some tears. We call out to God. I think that sometimes we talk about prayer more than we actually pray. We discuss the option of prayer instead of having a conversation and an ongoing dialogue with God. My wife and I have a connection. It's very passionate. We always have a conversation going on. And we can be interrupted in our conversation and then get back together hours later and continue the conversation. Sometimes almost like there was no pause in between. There are times whenever, you know, she starts the conversation and I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? And there's times where, so we have that connection, but it's not always perfect. We're not always on the same wavelength. But our conversation with God can always continue in that way. He's always ready to pick up. He's always interested to give into your life and to hear from you. The ability to go to heaven on any cause is the most wasted resource known. Now, I'll mention this. We would bring something to God in prayer and say, man, I wish God would do something about that or work on it. What we're saying is, God, I want to see some progress. I want to see the notches on the wall moving. I want to see growth. I want to see forward motion. I want to see something happening. God is always working in every situation on every person on the whole earth. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. for your edification. Consider how long God has been working on you in human time. How much progress has he made? Do you think you could be further ahead if you had focused, obeyed, and followed more? All of us are going to go, well, sure, Pastor. I was thinking I was 52, but my wife corrected me that I'm only 51. Miss Mary, I'm sorry I had to say that. Miss Mary taught me to say 30 plus 21. I was saved when I was 11. God's been working on me for 40 years. And I look at where God took me from to where I am now. And I'm certainly becoming. I'm conforming to the image of his son, but it's painfully slow. It's like 40 years and I haven't made any more progress than this. God, what's going on? And God says, look what I got to work with. How many times are you stubborn and contrary? And how many rabbit holes have you been down? And how many times have you ran off chasing butterflies? But God's still good and he's still building. He's still working and he's still convicting and he's still convincing my heart. He's still teaching and training me. What am I that God is mindful of me? And who are you? It says, come closer. And James 4 says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. I say, come, let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord Maker. This is just a taste and see that the Lord is good. This is just a beginning, an introductory offer. To really know the love of Christ, which passes understanding, a peace that can't be registered in our hearts and minds. Look in Isaiah chapter 40. I want to start in verse 1, read a few verses, and then jump to 21. In verse 1 of Isaiah 40, it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her welfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every hill shall be made low and the crooked places made straight and the rough places plain. I went by a spot off of Springwater Road. I'd been watching this. They were building a house back in there and there's no way to get to the house. They had this beautiful house back there, no way to get back to it. And they built this driveway. And Mel, this driveway came across this ravine. And down at the bottom of the ravine, there's a creek flowing through, and they put a culvert in there. And they piled up dirt. And that dirt is 40 feet tall. And they put rock work on both sides of that dirt. And they got a driveway running down through the middle of that. They took that low spot and they made it higher. And they brought the hill in and they bulldozed it down. They put that dirt down in there. They made the high spot low and they made the low spot higher. And they made a nice road that goes back into the house. And this is what it's talked about here. It says, prepare the way of the Lord. It's John the Baptist in the wilderness for Jesus Christ. And he's saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. I say, God is visiting his people after a period of 400 years of silence. He says, speak comfortably to my people. There's comfort in the presence and visitation of God. And while God is willing, and while the Spirit is convicting, and while your heart is still tender, harden not your heart as in a day of provocation. Say, God, here am I. God, here am I. Convict me, clean me, and take me and use me. He says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. When I was driving out here to the west, I came across the Rocky Mountains. And I didn't do this. Whoop, whoop. I did this. I said, Jackie, I can't believe how smooth the grade is and how straight the road is. I said, the engineers that laid out this trail did an incredible job. Anybody ever been down the old highway over there by the waterfalls? You can kiss the back of your car. If you go around a little fast, you can kiss the back lights on your car when you're coming around the turn. They're like, whoop, whoop, whoop. And if you're not used to driving a road like that, you start to feel a little disoriented, sick. Yeah. And then out there is that nice road they made, straight as an arrow. I say, why aren't we out there on the nice road? We are on this back road, and look, the railroad ties is lava rocks. Wonder if that stops a car very well. Let's not find out. And that Emily loves them once. When you can look over the edge and see way down. I say, hey, we made a straight road. And in our lives, when we submit to God, when we will confess our sins, we'll take off some of those high hills and fill in some of those valleys and make a highway that we can serve and obey God, that we can follow Him, that we can submit to Him, that we can have that subdued spirit that we discuss in Sunday school. It says, here's the highway of God. In verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice saith, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The flower withereth, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Look down to verse 22 there in Isaiah 40. It says, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be strong. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth them out, their host by number. He calleth them all by their names. By the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one falleth. Back in Jesus, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before His glory with great joy, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can take a comfort in knowing God. We can take a comfort in the promise of the Savior, they looking forward to it, us looking back at Calvary and the blood of Christ that covers all sin. We can go back up to say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling and recognizing Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, Jesus Christ the Savior, Jesus Christ the Son of God. I know that I have sinned. I'll recognize that Christ died on the cross and paid for my sins. I believe that he was placed in the grave 3 days, three nights. And he had a glorious resurrection. 40 days of earthly ministry. And he was caught up to be with the Father. And he ever liveth and maketh intercession for us on the right hand of God the Father. If you have not placed your trust in Christ today, if you don't know what it means to be one of God's children, understanding the death of Christ on the cross for your sins, believing that God raised him from the dead, the scripture says, thou shalt be saved. Placing our confidence, our faith, and our belief in God. Having an understanding of our sinfulness and of the Savior suffering for us. Hallelujah, what a Savior. What a God who loved me and gave himself for me.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.